Scott with SJWealthWire.com Final Days Report, episode 463. This VCast, we're going to cover what I think is going to be the final AI beast system. I'm going to cover a presentation that Larry Ellison, he's the CEO of Oracle, that basically are the data centers behind artificial intelligence, the cloud service, if you will. He unlocked artificial intelligence and its power, and he gave a bunch of insights of your future. There are four things I want to cover and take away from this presentation. First of all, again, if you follow our ministry, the Tower of Babel 2.0 is artificial intelligence. It's Lucifer's counterfeit, this beast system. We're going to cover the big picture. Two slides we're going to cover. What is the big picture? Where are they taking us, my friends? And how Oracle is at the tip of the spear for the AI beast system backbone. It's undeniable. Bullet point number three, key takeaway. The convergence of enslavement is mounting. We're going to cover multiple triggers that are just converging for our enslavement. And bullet point number four, during his presentation, we're going to talk about as the days of Noah, an end of days marker, DNA defilement, the war on your blood. Life is in the blood. We did a Bible study thereof. So what is the big picture? The strategy. Where do they want to take us? Well, let's go to Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock. And BlackRock and Blackstone, and there's another company that escapes me, really run the world in terms of the Fortune 500 companies. They are major stock owners, so they can control the board. They can control the board. They can control the CEO. And what their goal is, and they're not alone, World Economic Forum and others, is a technocracy management model. Now, technocracy is where science runs the world. In order to do that, everything needs to be a node. I like to say, and I heard this from somebody during their presentation, that every blade of grass will be measured. Every tree will be measured. And you need to think about artificial intelligence and everything being on the blockchain, 100% measured, 100% transparent. This is all about behavior modification and smart technology. Think about carbon trackers and social credit trackers, all of it. ID 2020, this digital ID where you can't bank, you can't go online, you can't do anything. You can't travel without your digital papers, please. That's where they're moving us. And so the goal is to digitize, to tokenize everything, every home. But this means you as well. When I play this video, it reminds me of Microsoft's 06-06-06 patent. You can't make this up. We did a podcast on this. Search sjwellfire.com, Microsoft 666 patent. Because the goal is that you will get paid if you give your information. You'll get paid if you did a said task. Will this technology be under the skin? You watched a certain commercial, you get paid. You hunt a Christian that has not taken the mark of the beast. You will be the enforcer, my friends, with this brain computer interface, optogenetics, mind control technology. But they want to tokenize everything for a technocracy management model. And if you don't know technocracy, we've done some podcasts on this. Elon Musk's family is heavily involved in technocracy. That is where this whole thing is going. And as you listen to this video, this screams pump and dump. This reminds me of turning everything into a node, everything tokenized, and a pump and dump. It reminds me of the 1930s when they made the government, U.S. government made gold illegal, God's money illegal, and then revalued it to wipe out their debt. And we've talked a lot about recent Trump moves where this appears to be the play. It appears to be the play with Bitcoin, with cryptocurrency, with stable coins linked to the U.S. government. It's a ruse. Stable coins, they can actually shut down your account. Stable coins are central bank digital programmable money light. Central bank digital currencies, they can say you got to spend your money in a certain amount of time. You can only spend your money in a certain geographical location. You can't spend your money real time on certain things. This is a nightmare. But listen to this. This is where they are going. The big picture is your digital enslavement.
I do believe we're just at the beginning of the tokenization of all assets, from real estate to equities, to bonds, across the board. There's $4.1 trillion of money in Citi globally in digital wallets. A lot of that money is outside the United States. If we could tokenize an ETF, you know, digitize that ETF, we could have investors who are just beginning to, you know, invest in markets through, let's say, crypto. They're investing in it, but now we could get them into the more traditional long-term retirement products. So we look at that as the next wave of opportunity for BlackRock over the next tens of years, as we start focusing, moving away from, you know, traditional financial assets by repotting them in a digital manner, and then having people stay in that digital ecosystem.
Now, this is not my opinion. I've watched experts. They're going to tokenize you, and they're going to bet on you. Did you do said task? Are you being compliant? They're creating these new markets that are mind-bending. Information is the new God.
I would say the biggest question from central banks is, what is the role of tokenization and digitization? How quickly should they think about digitizing their own currency? What does that mean for the role of the dollar? If every currency digitizes and we have, what does that mean for bank payments? What does that mean for the payment companies like MasterCard and Visa? All these are being questioned right now. I think we spend so much time talking about AI. We're not spending enough time talking about how quickly we're going to tokenize every financial asset and the opportunity we're going to have a digital wallet and moving, you know, ETFs and other things through a digital wallet. And I think that's going to happen worldwide very rapidly. And I think most countries are ill-prepared for that and underappreciate how technology is changing that, not unlike how technology is changing AI and other things. It will be changing the technology around the plumbing of finance.
The digital euro is on the move.
This is ID cards by the back door, isn't it?
Look, I was then, I remain even more convinced today, particularly with biometric technology, the world will move to biometric ID, and they'll do it because in the end it's better for people.
We will finally complete the biometric entry exit visa tracking system, which we need desperately.
We're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior.
And what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
The first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model.
This is where technology, like digital ID, becomes critical.
So that we can eventually, you know, not put to bed, but put to reality this digital euro. The deadline for us is going to be October of 25.
The technology and the digital infrastructure, I just want to emphasize how important I think that is. Because in the end, you need the data. You need to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been. Some of the vaccines that will come on down the line will be multiple. There'll be multiple shots.
The enslavement model is mind-bending, but it gets more nefarious. Now, I'm going to play an executive from Oracle. This is a couple years ago at an AI conference where they're pushing it. And he's going to have a quote that basically says, humans that don't merge with or use artificial intelligence are going to be obsolete. And never forget how that fits Elon, where we played him probably 30 times. We can't be AI. You need to join it. You need to fuse with it. This is transhumanism run by technocracy. And the danger of fusing with this technology, the danger is it has read-write capability. You will no longer own your thoughts. I just read an article from Fortune magazine about brain-computer interface. And there's a company that actually is working on natural biological neuralace that fits every point of your brain, and it morphs into your brain. It's non-invasive surgery. We've been harping about the nanotech and those chips and how people have showed up as Mac IDs. on how mRNA technology goes across the blood-brain barrier. Are they already ahead of the curve here? This is nuts. And you need to think about Oracle. We've covered Larry Ellison was caught saying that they have dossiers on 5 billion people, and without the CIA tie, Oracle would not have a business. We've talked about DARPA starting many of these big companies that we all know. And again, we'll talk about the convergence of AI taking the jobs. Their expenses have skyrocketed. Electricity bills are up and water prices are up. Health insurance has skyrocketed. They're predicting a 30% increase in health insurance in 2026. Own nothing and like it. It'll be impossible to own a car with how insurance rates are going. But let's play this video. This is the goal. It's a soul trap. This will fit the mark of the beast. Either join AI or lose everything.
The AI revolution is here, and it's changing everything. Within the next 5 years, AI stands to create 78 million net new jobs and add trillions of dollars in value to the global economy. The core of the revolution is data, both your data and the data that others entrust to you. But the question becomes, can you trust AI? Is it safe to trust the answers it gives? Are the applications it generates ready for the enterprise? Secure, correct, and dependable? You can, if you bring AI to your data and use a database where AI and data are architected to work together.
This is key. This will funnel Larry Ellison's presentation for this AI conference that I think was about 3 weeks ago, because their goal is leveraging your private data, corporations' private data. That is where they're building this infrastructure. And I think they'll be able to turn this key on that we'll cover later. It's not just open source data that ChatGPT uses and other artificial intelligence that, oh, by the way, has multiple copyright infringements. As Elon Musk said, we've played the video, that by the time the copyright lawsuits that AI is leveraging for open source data comes to fruition, it'll be too late. Things are moving so fast, my friends. But listen to this quote from this Oracle executive. That is where they're going to put you in a box.
Please welcome to the stage Oracle's Executive Vice President of Database Technologies, Juan Loaiza.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for joining today. Talk about the AI for data revolution, and it is a revolution. So as we know, our AI is changing everything, and it's the next big thing in data management, without a doubt. And it's not a revolution any of us can afford to ignore. So, you know, the quote I like the best about AI is this one. It says, AI won't replace humans, but humans with AI will replace humans without AI.
From Harvard Business Review, AI won't replace humans, but humans with AI will replace humans without AI. Think of the ramifications as AI takes doctors' jobs. Doctors will sit back and say, if I don't join with AI, I'm not going to have a job. That is where this is headed. This is pure transhumanism. And again, AI brain-computer interface, it's optogenetics, mind controlism that has read, it can read your mind and write to your mind, put memories there. You're going to be a pet to the man, to Lucifer. This reminds me of scripture, Luke 17:20-21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, talking about Jesus, when the kingdom of God should come, Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Ghost was released after Jesus rose again. And I've always said this, rethink the abomination of desolation because you're the temple of God. If they build a third temple and Jesus is not in it, is it really holy? Check out a couple Bible studies we did on sjwellfire.com. And oh, by the way, I've had a couple people say the videos won't play, and sure enough, they wouldn't play for me. We're under constant attack. I actually cleared the caches, my history in the caches, and it worked perfect. So check that out if you're on sjwellfire.com. But it's a soul trap is the goal. There's a war. I'm going to play a video at the end with Gordy Rose, who is the funder of D-Wave Computers, Quantum Computers, that is beyond creepy, talking about aliens that actually are coming. I mean, it is beyond nasty. He copyrights it. He does not want this information out. I think he was at the University of Toronto or some university in Canada asking people to join him, and it was beyond nefarious. Artificial intelligence, does it speak to other dimensions? Can Lucifer hook into it to be all-knowing like God? Because he wants to be like God. Again, it's all a counterfeit. So first 2 points. The strategy is technocracy government, a one-world government where the 10 kings will rule. The 10 kings might just be tech companies. That's a theory I have. I'm watching it closely. And then it's a soul trap. Those are the first two objectives. Now, let's get into the Larry Ellison presentation and some key findings. And I found this wild because, again, Oracle has the CIA lineage. Without the CIA supporting Oracle, the company would not exist. And Larry's going to talk about how Oracle is at the tip of the spear of training most of the AI models like Grok and ChatGPT. Oracle also, with their data centers, are at the tip of the spear for most of your major corporations across all sectors, banking, oil, you name it, healthcare especially. Oracle bought a company. They have over 20% of the U.S. health records, folks. This is a database that has artificial intelligence on private data for big business and private data for you. And again, Larry Ellison was caught and sued saying they have dossiers on 5 billion people. And think about what's just happened. I'll play some videos at the end where Larry Ellison and a group appear to be buying TikTok. His son is involved in CBS, Paramount, and the BET, Black Entertainment Network. They've already fired a lot of people and are going to use AI within these platforms, but are they going to spy on you? Folks, it all feeds the beast system. Social media feeds the beast system. It's going to be all knowing. And you have to think about ID 2020, where without it, you won't be able to go on the net, buy, travel, all of it. That's why the UK just said you can't work in the UK unless you have a digital ID. This is a tracking system. This is an enslavement system. Satan has but a short time. Now, as I play this video, he kind of gives two messages. He basically says that we are having AI reason against private data, against the corporation's private data. And he goes on in the presentation, I'm not going to play the video, but he said, he asked his artificial intelligence, and it's called RAG, who is going to buy an Oracle product and why in the future? And it's an interesting example. So the customers that he serves, it's private data, but he's reasoning against it with artificial intelligence. So it's anonymous for now. It's more meta-based, but they're reasoning against it. So when the Antichrist comes and makes some sort of law that says all private data, corporations and yours, needs to feed AI, it's just like that. Because never forget, we played the video, Trump, under the initiative of Kill the Clipboard, making your data available to all these big tech companies. Trump basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't understand why people want their private data private. Folks, he's building the infrastructure to reason, to understand private data. His words. And when will it really be used against you? Who didn't take the mark of the beast? Here we go.
big opportunity in AI training is upon us. And Oracle is a major participant in building data centers to do AI training. But the much, much larger opportunity, the one that will truly change the world, isn't the creation of the models themselves, the training of the models. What will change the world is when we start using these remarkable electronic brains, and that's what they are. These are remarkable electronic brains to solve humanity's most difficult and enduring problems. Now, there's one thing that's kind of interesting, where Oracle's explicitly involved, which is, as I said earlier, these AI models are trained on publicly available data, all the data on the internet. So if you look at ChatGPT or Anthropic, Grok, Llama, what have you, they're all trained on all of the data on the internet. In other words, publicly available data. But for these models to reach their peak value, you need to not train them not just on publicly available data, but you need to make privately owned data available to those models as well. And that's where Oracle plays a particularly important role, because most of the world's high value data is already in an Oracle database. We just have
most of the world's high value private data is in an Oracle database. And he's going to go on to say they're reasoning against it. And again, I think this is more meta-based. I'll give you an example. How many people have diabetes in the world under their database? How many corporations have a cash flow problem? And what is the problem? It won't necessarily say this specific customer of Oracle's, is my understanding. But when will that change, my friends? Because you need to think about this in your private data. And again, Oracle has a corporation that they purchased in the healthcare industry that has over 20% of all the medical records in the U.S. and probably a very decent percentage in Western nations. So if your DNA changed and you're no longer human, you're property of Big Pharma, because we covered the Lancet study that said, yes, this changed your DNA. Do you even have rights to have your data be private? Or are you beholden to this beast system? It's a question, because GMO law says if you change God's seeds, a tomato seed, for example, it's the ownership of that patent company. Do you remember how we covered Monsanto suing organic farmers because their seed genes all of a sudden started to sequence with the organic seeds? Scam. It's a scam. It's a big bet question, my friends. Let's continue.
Had to change, and it is past tense. We had to change. We did change that database so that that Oracle database can take the data that's already in the Oracle database and make it available to AI models for reasoning. So the AI model can reason on not just public data, but on private data.
So they made a change. Artificial intelligence now has the access to private corporation data and your private data. Makes you think Oracle's at the tip of the spear of this AI beast system. Let's continue. And again, just another proof point, Oracle trains all the big AI players that is publicly available. And this just reminds me of how, again, Elon Musk said, yes, we're getting sued. AI is getting sued for copyright infringement. But by the time the findings are there, AI will be too big and you won't be able to stop it. The other point I want to make before I play the next video of this AI final beast system, and I was going to play the video, but I decided not to. I'll just tell you a little bit about it. The CEO from Amazon, their data centers, and Larry Ellison have an agreement, because Amazon is huge with data centers, with servers, right? And so clients, these corporations, sometimes they'll use Amazon and Oracle, and they'll have software that will bridge the information for the client. So they're building this connection to link the infrastructure for this one world artificial intelligence network.
Okay, so We're training. We are in the middle. We trained the very first version of Grok for Elon. We're training a number of other of these multimodal AI models. Almost all of these AI models are in the Oracle Cloud, and I'll come back to that. But yeah, we're probably involved. We're certainly involved in training more multimodal AI models than any other company. And it's very exciting, and it's daunting. I mean, the size of these projects that we're running is, it's not just building the network of GPUs, the computer rooms, and the networks, and the cooling, and that was hard. By the way, that was hard in the first place. But now we have to build the power transmission plants. There's a natural gas pipeline that goes to the gas turbines, that fires up the gas turbines and then generate electricity. That electricity then has to be moved to the data center. So it's power generation, it's gas pipelines, power generation, power transmission, data centers, networks, and those data centers are filled with lots and lots and lots of complex software and a lot of very smart, hardworking engineers. These are enormous engineering projects, each and every one of them. And what we're trying to build are these multimodal neural networks trained on all types of data, textual data, images, data, audio, video, every publicly available piece of data plus synthetic data we train these models on.
That took me, synthetic data. It reminded me of Smart Dust, going back to my first point of technocracy with Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, where everything's going to be measured. We did a video of how they're making synthetic skin for robots where you can't tell if a robot is human or not. This is a wild, wild time. And we'll get into these data centers, their electricity use, their water use. Meanwhile, smart meters are going to limit what you have. Remember the Nestle CEO that was the interim World Economic Forum president? Said people should have rations for water. There's not a scarcity of food. There's not a scarcity of water. There's primary water. Gaddafi was greening the desert. AI is going to solve problems that don't exist. I'm not buying any of this. And you need to think about, again, Ellison, TikTok, movie, entertainment, knowing everything. Ellison is a huge investor in X, and Elon Musk, they're wings of the same bird. And we have a theory. Elon Musk just might be the false prophet. And it's a theory. It's something I'm watching. Now, it goes a little bit deeper. So I feel like there were mixed messages, because Larry, that first slide, he talked about how we are now reasoning against private data. And what I have come to the conclusion is they're not making your private data public, but they're reasoning against it. So they're looking for statistics. It's more macroeconomics versus microeconomics, micro at the personalized scale, but it knows. And so here's the solve to get into private data. They're going to give you the model that says, yes, make my private data available to be reasoned against for artificial intelligence. And I go back to Trump saying, let's kill the clipboard. But he said, I don't understand with this kill the clipboard healthcare initiative where everything will be digitized with all of these tech deep state players. Everything will be digitized, but I don't understand why people want their data private. His own words. And you need to think about history and fruits of our government. With the false flag of 9-1-1, yes, people died, but it was a total false flag. And the National Defense Authorization Act allowing the government to spy on you. I just saw a video, maybe I'll put it at the end, of the Palantir CEO that we always talk about, saying, look, the Constitution shouldn't exist because if 60,000 Yale students died of fentanyl, we'd be going to war, but we're here fighting for you to stop fentanyl. Folks, the government runs the drugs, as we've always said. Watch the movie Clinton Chronicles on a search engine that won't censor it. They run the drugs. And Larry, we'll play the video at the end. You'll be on your best behavior. Everything will be monitored. We're going to monitor you during your bathroom break. This is sick, sick stuff. So I like to say, minus the are you even human anymore if your DNA has changed? Think of the Antichrist or law that exposes your private data. Because again, that first slide that we talked about said they're reasoning against it. So when will this be full-blown 1984 when the digital IDs are implemented? The final activation of the Mark of the Beast system. That's where you need to think of prophecy. How can this come to fruition? Now, when I play this video, he's going to say they is AI. Reasons like a human does, like a human brain.
They reason like we reasoned. They, and there's a list, they do deductions, they do inferencing, they do calculations, they have strategy, they have rules. All the techniques, the reasoning techniques that we use, they simulate and use. But they think a lot faster than we do and solve problems a lot faster than we do. Or they solve really complicated problems that we can't solve at all. And that's what makes this so exciting and makes this so enormously valuable. These models can answer your questions. They can generate computer code, a lot of the code that Oracle is writing. Oracle isn't writing. Our AI models are writing.
I found that interesting. It used to be a guaranteed job is learn code. Now AI writes the code. We've been covering that for years.
We just tell the model what we want the program to do, and then the AI comes up with a step-by-step process to actually do it. We don't write the procedure. We declare our intent, but the model writes the step-by-step procedure, that thing we commonly think of as a computer program. They diagnose medical images far better than we do. They design drugs that we can't. But there's a big gotcha. There's a big gotcha on these models, and that is the models do not get trained on your private data. Because for some reason, private people want to keep their private data private. And that's not going to change.
For some reason, they want to keep their data private. Do you have rights, my friends, if your DNA has changed?
But people also want these models to reason on their private data. You know, have your cake, eat it too, whatever you want to call it.
I'm sorry, I don't want AI to reason off my private data because it's going to reason to enslave you, especially if you're a Christian.
I want to keep my data private. I don't want to share it with anybody else. However, I'd like to use this enormously powerful tool to reason on my private data. And that's what Oracle, what's one of the big things Oracle's been applying itself to in terms of solving that particular problem. And we have this new thing where we're talking about this week here in Las Vegas is the Oracle AI data platform, the Oracle AI database and the Oracle AI data platform. And interesting thing about the AI data platform, it includes a multimodal model of your choice. Well, a multimodal model of your choice. Okay, that's great. So if you want to use Grok in the Oracle Cloud, you can use Grok. If you want to use ChatGPT, you can use ChatGPT. If you want to use Llama, you can use Llama. You want to use Gemini, you can use Gemini. And we'll attach that model, the model of your choice, to not only the public data. The model's already connected to the public data. That's done. But we give you the ability to add your private data to the model's library of information and knowledge. So the model can reason across not just public data, but also private data while keeping your private data private, not sharing it with anybody else. That's very, very important. And it's not easy.
It's not going to share with anybody else, but AI is going to reason against it. This is the Tower of Babel. And when I listened to this, it reminded me of the video we played of the venture capitalist meeting with the government saying that they're going to have a handful of AI companies and they're going to black box the technology. And the venture capitalist said, well, the math is already out there, and said, doesn't matter. We have black boxed certain physics. Don't teach it. Folks, this is the beast system, and Oracle is at the tip of the spear. Larry Ellison is up. Puppet, a supporter of Israel, the woman of the book of Revelation. We've done two or three studies. Israel killed the prophets. Rome didn't kill the prophets. Check out that series. Jerusalem sits on seven hills.
Now hosting an on-camera meeting with American social media influencers to talk about how they are going to shape U.S. opinion. I honestly, with my eyes, I was going, this can't be real. Like, it's, they're not even hiding it anymore, right? It's like, first it was a conspiracy theory. Now it's like, here's what we're going to do.
So with Charlie's assassination and with the kind of trajectory that we see with like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, I guess I'm curious about what's another game plan if we lose evangelical support for the state of Israel? What's our backup plan to be strong, like outside the diaspora?
The woke right. And he said, I call it the woke Reich. That's a brilliant. A lot of this is done with money. Money of NGOs, vast. Money of governments, vaster. Okay? We have to fight back. We're going to have to use the tools of battle. You know, the weapons change over time. And the most important ones are the social media. And the most important purchase that is going on right now is class.
Followers.
TikTok. TikTok. Number one. And I hope it goes through because it's it can be consequential. Mm-hmm. And the other one, what's the other one that's most important?
X.
Exactly. Very good. And, you know, so we have to talk to Elon. He's not an enemy. He's a friend. We should talk to him.
Okay, so, like, we're allowed to say Israel controls the media now. Okay, I think that's just, like, on camera. Now there will be no dispute about this. The fact that you have a foreign leader, it's incredible. You have a foreign leader who is sitting up there saying that he wants his agents, he needs the deal to go through, which, by the way, let's call out Donald Trump right now. Okay, all of the acting. We don't want China. We don't want China to own TikTok, and I'm worried about your data. No, you wanted to hand it over to your Zionist friends. Okay, it was all a mirage. Okay, it was all theater. Donald Trump has sold us out to Israel once again. Okay, so he's saying, I want this deal to go through. And we know who's a part of that deal. It's Larry Ellison, who has made, he's very clear about the fact that he's an agent of Israel. So he's basically saying, we need to take over TikTok because what are they going to do? What they've already done, they're going to censor speech. The reason that they got on board, just like the ADL spokesperson said when he was caught on the mic, was like, we need to do something about TikTok. And now they're doing the thing, right? They are going to take over TikTok and they're going to ban your speech. It's happening right now. One of the executives there that they installed immediately after, she said she was a proud Zionist and spent time in Israel. We saw instantly that our content was getting strikes. You can't say anything bad right now about Israel on TikTok. And this is because it's what Bibi Netanyahu has willed, right? They want to censor speech, which was something that Charlie was very worried about.
And the 10 kings will turn on the whore and burn her with fire. Fits Zechariah 12 and 14 perfectly. We need to pray people get saved.
To do it in a highly secure way. It's not easy. If it was easy, a lot of people would have already done it.
This kind of counters the first slide. But again, I think where he's going is his artificial intelligence will reason against your private data with a 40,000 foot level statistical way. But when will it come after you? For your purchases, for your carbon footprint purchases, or your carbon footprint going over the limits. You've breathed too much. Time's up. You need to now sit in a cocoon so we can harvest your energy. I'm just saying that's some of the predictive programming that we've seen in Hollywood. And think about this. You can't look at just Oracle in a silo. Because they're all the players who the World Health Organization launches AI system to track global online conversations. They're not tracking conversations, as they say, to look for the next pandemic, or I like to say plandemic. This is about a psyop to destroy counter narratives. If somebody says they really, really got sick, their kid has colon cancer that is skyrocketing after the poke, they want to squash it. How does this fit Oracle? How does this fit artificial intelligence? How does this fit RAG, the AI system for your private data that Oracle talks about during this presentation? And oh, by the way, you can find the entire presentation on Oracle's YouTube channel. You know it's a psyop when you can't talk about it. That's what happened during the plandemic, during Operation Warp Speed. People were shut down. And don't give me this right-left nonsense, because Trump, after Charlie Kirk's event said, we need to go after hate speech online. And we've covered Bill Gates and these leftists saying the same thing. Online bullying needs to stop. The solution is ID 2020. Papers, please, to go on the net. Wings of the same bird. And this is a bit of an older story, but I just thought this was interesting. Thousands of criminals, this is from the BBC, could be released early under government sentencing reform, Tories say. They need to free up real criminals to put in the hate speech criminals. 12,000 people arrested for their online speech in the UK. Germany is up there as well. They're testing this around the world. And think Noahide laws. This all comes back there. The next thing I talked about that I want to cover is just the convergence of evil, the headwinds that we are facing. They're building, obviously, our enslavement, but you need to think about this AI counterfeit God. These data centers use a tremendous amount of water. Larry Ellison during this presentation says we're running out of water. I don't believe it for a second. Northwestern University said that they're 5 times the amount of water under the earth than what we can see with our oceans. Gaddafi tapped into it, primary water, greening the desert. And he's going to talk about here the electricity that's used. Meanwhile, they're forcing us with smart meters to ration your water and electricity. I got something in the mail from the electrical company, and I'm blown away at my bill because I know neighbors pay half as much as I do. And it basically said, let us control your electricity so you can have savings. Are you kidding me? This is awful. But check this out, how much this sucks the electricity and sucks the water. Meanwhile, they're going to ration your means to travel, to drink water. And I go back to the World Economic Forum interim president from Nestle said, we need to ration water. I mean, come on. Yeah, if you haven't checked out the video, Trump is at the tip of the spear of enslaving you with the AI Stargate announcement. That's this data center here. $500 trillion that will enslave you. Resource drain, enslavement vehicle. Flat out. And oh, by the way, Trump just erased on the Department of Homeland Security their policy on using biometrics and facial recognition surveillance. The BEAST system is coming, and it's coming fast.
Looks a lot like the brain. So the brain has a lot of, it's amazing. 20 watt human brain, 20 watts. You know, anyone who screwed in a 20 watt light bulb, no, that's not a lot of light. But it's enough to run 86 billion neurons and give you vision and balance and reasoning and language and creativity and the ability of deduction and inferencing. You can do all of that with this incredible what Elon calls a 20 watt meat, you know, computer.
20 watt meat computer, your brain. When I heard this, it just reminded me of the article that we've shown. How humans can power 6G. They're sucking your energy. They're sucking your soul.
Sensation, recognition, after recognition, the ability to reason on that. Again, the visual cortex is right behind the parietal lobe, behind and below it. The prefrontal lobe, as you can see on the left side, is a big language center. The brain is very specialized. So are the AI models. But we're not building a 20-watt meat computer. We're building a 1.2 billion-watt AI brain. Did you ever try to do multiplication as fast as an HP calculator? These electronic brains, the AI, these AI models, reason, and they reason very quickly. And they can deal with a lot of data. And they can get to answers that we've never gotten to. This is a picture of a data center we're in the process of building. Actually, it's up and running. Part of it is up and running. We're gonna, eventually, it's going to have 500,000 NVIDIA GPUs in it. By the way, to give you an idea, 1.2 billion watts, what does that really mean? That's enough to power 1 million four-bedroom homes in the United States.
I'm going from memory as a marketing person. I think there were 100 million households in America. So 1% of the energy with this one location. So how many data centers are there in the United States? Think about that. That's why your electricity is skyrocketing. That's why they want to put a smart meter to control what you can use to feed the beast. Water shortages. How are they cooling this? It's all a scam. Now, this is an article that we covered in the last VCast, so I'll just go over it quickly. So as our costs are skyrocketing, electricity, cost of water, healthcare insurance for 2026 are increasing for many people up to 30%. Car insurance skyrocketing. They're going to make insurance so expensive that you're going to own nothing and like it. But Amazon, a leaked document, switch to robots over human warehouse employees will save it up to $4 billion a year. And their goal is to get rid of 75% of people working in these operations. Driverless cars, I bet. Robots dropping off these vehicles. Or robots dropping off these packages. Drones dropping off these packages. And then, oh, by the way, Ring now has facial recognition. And again, Trump just said, change the Department of Homeland Security, their policy on facial recognition. There's going to be a pole on every street corner that can see, hear, listen, identify, track. And Amazon is at the tip of the spear for smart city technology. I remember we played a video of somebody that was locked out of their home by Amazon because of a so-called threat. Will you be able to even to get in your home? How are they going to leverage taxes and incentives to put this technology in your house? Will they force you with a gun? No electricity unless you have a smart meter? And we know they put the smart meters up and many people have fought it. Folks, the enslavement is moving so fast. So fast. So as the jobs disappear and your costs skyrocket, what's going to happen? Universal basic income. And another example of jobs. Bill Gates said doctors are going to be replaced. Better surgeons, better at diagnosing your problem and giving a recommendation. And Oracle, again, they have a subsidiary that they purchased that is involved in healthcare. I like to say healthcare. And personally, I've listened to multiple doctors and read multiple documents. I think there are three reasons why people get sick. One is they're lacking nutrition, vitamins and minerals, trace minerals, enzymes, amino acids. They're missing something. Number two is the toxicity in their body. It could be fungus. It could be aluminum, thermosol, which is mercury, whatever the toxicity is. Parasites. I guarantee you people have parasites all over the place, so they're toxic. So they're lacking something or they're toxic. And the third point is new. As I was talking to a doctor, he said the third point is basically they have something structurally wrong with them. And oftentimes it has to deal with their spinal cord. When I fractured my knee, I started walking strange and I started getting massive headaches. Once I started working on my walking, my ailments disappeared. So structural. That's why the system hates chiropractors when they fix structural issues. And I'd say 80% of people I know that deal with chiropractors had great experiences. But I want you to listen to this. It sounds good on paper, but why do you need a doctor? Because AI is going to recommend everything. And this fits the healthcare codes that Obama placed. They've taken the creativity away from doctor-patient relationships.
It's true, Dad. So this is what we had to build. I mean, I built something that worked in the United States and in the UK and all over the world and solved this problem. The problem was to get best possible care that's fully reimbursable. That's what our goal was. So the AI model that we built first used RAG to access the latest medical literature and your latest test results in the EHR, vital signs, and all of that information, all your blood tests.
RAG, I think, is Oracle's AI system that goes across private and public data
to assist the doctor to come up with the optimal, the best possible care. And we had to know things like, well, there's a new clinical trial for this particular type of cancer that applies to this patient, that the doctor should consider putting this patient in that clinical trial. So the AI model, not surprisingly, well, it will have all of the latest information about clinical trials, that, you know, which drugs are, you know, which drug is working better than the other drugs for this particular patient the doctor is looking at. So we'll provide information to doctors. The AI model will provide information to doctors as the doctor tries to figure out the best possible care for the patient.
So AI is going to recommend the best possible care. Why do you need most doctors? And he goes on to talk about how AI and robots can do surgery so much better than a surgeon because they have incredible vision. They know how deep to cut, precision. We covered RFK Jr. talking about, hey, let's get a hologram doctor in the poor parts of the United States, in rural areas. I'm not buying it, my friends. I'm not buying it. And oh, by the way, Larry Ellison and Oracle, one of their big customer bases are insurance companies. Seems like that's a little bit of a conflict of interest, as insurance companies don't want to pay, want to be profitable, and he's working with hospitals. What is that recommendation? Will his model lean towards the healthcare insurance companies? It's just a question. Do you trust the man? Again, people are sick because they lack some something. Vitamins and minerals, they're toxic, or they have something structurally wrong. Now, one of the key themes in Larry Ellison's presentation, I have a couple more slides talking about, listen, we need to make sure we make these products very, very cheap. No humans allowed. He talks that he doesn't think AI will replace jobs, but then he keeps on saying we need robots and AI to cut costs. He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Let your yay be yay and nay be nay. But in my humble opinion, and many others, Doge was used, and they used AI to scan and understand how the government works, the jobs done, the workflow. Why? For AI to run the government. AI will replace government jobs. We've proven that out in the last year. And never forget, Larry Ellison is pushing biometric IDs. As he said, the passcode, the way that you identify yourself, that it's you, is gone. He said, you will talk to artificial intelligence. Hello, what do you want to do today? That's how he said you're going to sign into a computer. Beyond creepy. And again, Larry Ellison, after 911, pushed for a federal ID. Really? Really? But I'm going to play this video. He is talking about automating regulators. Those are government regulators. He could be, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, he could be talking about automating the process so the paperwork gets emailed to a regulator so the person on the other end can look at the paperwork and say, yes, that qualifies. But I guarantee you automation is AI because this is an AI conference. What do you say?
We thought, following Elon Musk's rule, that if we really want to be successful in healthcare, we can't just automate hospitals and clinics. We have to automate the entire ecosystem. Like Elon had to build a worldwide charging network, or electric cars weren't going to work. You know, he couldn't just make the cars and assume that Standard Oil would provide the fuel, which is what Ford did. To build electric cars, he had to not only design an electric car and manufacture batteries and put robots in the manufacturing plants and figure out how to sell cars on the internet. He had to build a worldwide network of charging stations. He had to build a complete ecosystem for electric cars. If we want to automate hospitals and clinics, those hospitals and clinics are not going to be very efficient if the people who regulate those hospitals and clinics are not also automated.
That means AI in the future. Mark my words. Mark my words. All right. Life is in the blood. We're going to move on with Larry's presentation. And I'm calling this section As the Days of Noah and Life is in the Blood. They're going after your blood. And Elon Musk said there should be a DNA database of everybody in the world. Why? Because it's a seed war. Think Genesis. These people are not your friend. All right, the first slide I want to talk about is his genetic testing. And again, life is in the blood. Satan wants your information. We did a Bible study. I highly suggest you check it out. We did it years ago. About why does Satan want your blood? What is the purpose, my friends? But Larry's going to talk about a robotic factory, make it really, really cheap to understand future disease. Meanwhile, you think about SV40 with the old school pokes and how all of a sudden cancer exploded. You think about all the disease that has exploded after what we saw with the As the Days of Noah devil juice, from kids getting colon cancer to brain fog to heart attacks. I mean, come on. Give you the disease, cure the disease. I'm not buying any of this. Elon Musk said, we played the video, with the right mRNA sequencing, we can turn you into a butterfly. What they want is they want you as their mind-controlled pets. Remember Noah Harari? What to do with humans? Give them drugs and let them play video games. And again, there's a continuous theme with Larry talking about no humans needed to produce. Did you hear what he said in the last video? Elon had robots in the factories. What about paying Americans so they can afford the cars? Now, I had to cut out a lot of his presentation, but he also talked about how Oracle is involved in the drone business. So when they take your blood, they will have drones that can fly them to a lab, and Oracle's involved in drone air traffic control models. Folks, they're at the tip of the spear of the speech system. Tip of the spear. But they want your blood. And when you listen to this video of the technology he's working on to test to see if you have disease, it reminds me of that woman with her technology. One test, understand what's going on with you. I think she's in prison right now. Total scam. He's going to mention PCR tests. We have shown multiple times the videos of the inventor of the PCR test that was used during the pandemic, where he said you can't use this to define a disease because it picks up everything.
This is very interesting. This is a device that we're working on, which is called a metagenomic testing device. The our ability to identify pathogens when someone gets sick, we have a testing methodology called PCR. That if we kind of suspect, well, you have influenza A or influenza B or this coronavirus or, you know, COVID-19, or we can test for some number of known, a panel of some number of known respiratory viruses. But if you have something that's odd, it comes up just as PCR negative. We don't know what it is. And what we really want to do is genomic testing on that. But before we can do genomic testing on it, we have to culture it. We have to culture it and wait several days, and it could take a week or 2 weeks before we know what you had. Either it went away or you did, if it was particularly bad. This is a new sensor, a new sensor that will simply do gene sequencing. It will do gene sequencing of everything in the sample. So you take blood, and obviously in your blood are your own genes. Well, included in your own genes are something called ctDNA, circulating tumor DNA. So in everyone's blood, if you have cancer, even a stage one, early stage two cancer, you have small fragments of circulating tumor DNA that we can discover by sequencing gene sequencing everything alive in your blood. The problem with the circulating tumor DNA, and people have been trying to work with it in the past, is your immune system will cure a lot of cancers without you ever knowing you have them. The immune system clears up a lot.
I'll give him credit for saying that your immune system will cure many things. But remember, with the As the Days of Noah Devil Juice, we played a video of BBC saying that HIV was in that poke. Why? To lower your immune system so the poke could be effective. They're going after your immune system. And never forget SV40, that was on the CDC's website, linked to cancer. That was in the polio pokes. Cancer then skyrocketed. Disease is a weapon. It's population control. CDC, Center for Disease Control. They want to control it. They don't want to cure it. They create it.
A lot of cancers before you're ever symptomatic. And if we keep telling you, oh my God, we found this cancer, we need to start treating you. In fact, no, we don't. Your immune system's going to clean that up. Do absolutely nothing. So the false positives are deadly in this. However, with AI now, we can look at the fragments and distinguish between false positives and a real serious problem that you need to, you should start treating immediately, early. So this has the promise of giving us very, very early cancer diagnosis, which everyone knows leads to a much higher likelihood of a positive outcome with the cancer. It also will allow us to find any bacteria, any fungus, any virus, any living organism that you're infected with, any pathogen that you're infected with, and tell you exactly what that pathogen is, even if it's novel, like COVID-19 was novel. So we know how to treat it. Well, it'll tell you if that pathogen is resistant to certain antibiotics, and which antibiotics it's resistant to, and which antibiotics we should treat you with. Now, we actually have a partner here, I think that went on earlier, that talked about that same working on that same exact problem, which is very, very important. If you imagine this device being a low-cost device that's in the pathology departments in hospitals all over the world, so we can do this one blood test and find whatever pathogen you're infected with. If we had that, we never would have been caught off guard with COVID-19. We would have had early warning. We would have discovered it far, far before we discovered it. Those metagenomic sequencers would be the perfect early warning system for pandemics. And that's why we're working on them, and that's why we need them. Okay. Building all of these medical devices, building them reliably. If you want to put this metagenomic sequencer in every hospital all over the world, most of the hospitals all over the world, they can't cost $1 million. They can't cost $100,000. You have to make them cost effectively. You have to mass produce them. You have to make them in robot factories. If you make them in robot factories, you get much higher quality and dramatically lower costs. I think we have a video.
Those ugly humans.
This is a disc, where the test, you actually put the sample into the disc, spin the disc, and run all of these tests on the disc.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. All right. As the Days of Noah, the big lie, we're running out of food. And again, AI data centers using up water, using up electricity while you are going to get rationed. But Larry is heavily involved in CRISPR-Cas9 technology, and he uses a couple examples. The first example, and I'm going to play the video, is he's talking about, look, we figured out how to, using CRISPR-Cas9, so that's DNA defilement, that's GMO seeds, to make wheat 20% more productive and to suck carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. This is the biggest lie in the world. Without carbon dioxide, plants die. You exhale carbon dioxide. It's a Club of Rome scam that says humans are evil. And we're not running out of food, as I mentioned earlier, and mentioned all the time. That permaculture class I took said they could feed the world with the square miles of Missouri. I had a buddy who likes AI. He typed it in and AI said, no, you could feed the world with the size of Texas. But again, think of Libya greening the desert with tapping into primary water. Last VCast, we talked about how if the government was worried about food, they'd teach permaculture and they'd allow everybody to have backyard chickens. They'd allow people to have goats, milk the goats, learn to make cheese and butter, learn to make soap from goat's milk. Not buying it for a second that we're running out of food. And I was in the food business as a marketing person, and I'll never forget when GMO seeds came out. And I'll put some pictures. When GMO seeds first came out, genetically modified seeds, and they fed them to rats, the rats exploded with cancer, died earlier, and the ones with their offsprings were sick and weak. What does this do to your gut biome and your digestion? And I'm sure these GMO seeds coupled with Roundup, which is a chelator, sucks the nutrients out of the soil. And so this isn't a good idea to mess with God's creation. Larry Ellison is playing God. He's investing in CRISPR-Cas9 technology under the guise of saving global warming and producing more food. No, no. Teach the people to be self-efficient. But they don't want to. The other example he gave, and I'm not going to play the video, is I think he used corn that basically is genetically modified to suck more nitrogen out of the atmosphere so you don't have to use as much fertilizer. And fertilizer is a disaster for monocrop farming, but permaculture is not monocrop farming. It's basically seven layers of food in a small, condensed space. You'll have more food than you know what to do with, and rich soil. Let's play this. This is just nonsense. I will give Larry some credit. He did say if you want to get rid of all the carbon dioxide, the world will end. But still, he thinks it's a problem.
We've actually done this. It's actually a company that I'm involved with called Wild Bio. It's part of the Oxford company. I've got an institute at Oxford called EIT. It's the first time I've ever put my name on something, or the family name on something. EIT, and one of the companies we have is this company called Wild Bio. And what they did, the first thing they did was they modified a wheat plant, which is a grass. They modified wheat to have it produce 20% more food per acre, more grain per acre, which seems like, you know, we're running out of food. That seems like a good idea. Now, it's really...
We're not running out of food. Scarcity scam.
Really interesting. If you produce 20% more grain per acre, what wheat does, basically, it takes CO2 and sunlight, mixes them together to create food. So if you're growing more grain, you're consuming more CO2. Now, where that CO2 ends up is really, if you have AI designing the wheat, is really up to us. So we build this wheat that's much more efficient with photosynthesis than conventional wheat. Once we've absorbed the CO2 into the wheat, we could choose to take that CO2 and convert it into calcium carbonate. By the way, that's exactly how coral reefs get built. A coral reef is converting CO2 and sunlight into a structure, into a mineral called calcium, an inert mineral called calcium carbonate. So we grow a lot of wheat around the world every spring. We plant, you know, several Amazon rainforests worth of wheat. And if you want to, you can not only produce more grain, you can convert more CO2 directly into calcium carbonate, therefore removing it from the atmosphere forever. So if you want to manage, I know there are all these interesting ideas on how to manage the climate and manage the atmosphere and manage atmospheric CO2. But in this particular case, you could remove, if you wanted to go from the current level of 440 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere, which some people think is too high, and reduce it to 400 parts per million, you can do that simply by having the wheat and the corn and the soybeans and whatever producing, you know, converting CO2 into calcium carbonate, and you can manage the CO2 level in the atmosphere to whatever level you deem appropriate.
I probably, during my food career, have heard testimonies from over 100 people that are allergic to wheat. They have food allergies here in the United States. They travel to Europe, where the food is clean, not as many GMO foods, and they eat like a king or queen, and they lose weight. What have we done defiling God's creation? I think it's wickedness, my friends. And I'm going to end with this with Larry. To me, this is your smart city food supply, probably with GMOs. These greenhouses run by robots because humans will taint the food. No humans allowed because they're dirty. This bugged me. He's going to say a robot, hey, you can build this greenhouse with a robot, just setting this up in the foundation. They're going after the jobs.
Here's another one. You'll be happy we don't have a video. We just have a couple of pictures. Growing inside reduces the amount of water that we use to grow food by 90%. That in itself is essential because we are running.
As he sucks the water to cool his AI Stargate cloud service centers. I mean, come on.
Running out of food, by the way. We're running out of food in the world. I think in 2050, Africa will be our most populous continent. Think about that. Asia has India, China. You know, those are big countries with a lot of people. Africa will be larger. We need to produce much more food than we currently do. We're going to run out of water. We're going to run out of arable land. We can't keep taking habitat and converting it to farmland. We have to be much more efficient. And by growing in greenhouses and moving plants around, plants only need a lot of room for the few weeks before they're harvested. Otherwise, they can grow in much more confined areas. And if you can move the plants around, you use up much less water, much less space. You save habitat. If you're growing indoors, you can grow by urban centers. I mean, I don't suggest you put a greenhouse right in the middle of New York, but you can put it 50 miles away from New York. And you're growing near population centers, so the CO2 output for transporting the food to population centers is greatly reduced. The food is much fresher. Again, in a greenhouse, there's a harvest every morning, and it's delivered the grocery that afternoon, and it can be eaten that evening. So the food is much fresher. It's lower cost. It's more nutritious. It's tastier. And we're actually building these things, these robotic greenhouses. And there should be a picture coming up. Yeah, that's real. Just hold that. This is also, as I pointed out to Elon, this is also a Martian habitat. This building, which is very large, you can imagine as a greenhouse, or just ignore, and that yellow thing kind of on the lower part is an overbot. That's a rail system that moves the plants around from one location to the other. No human beings are allowed in the growing area, because human beings contaminate the growing area. We literally lift the plants up and move them into a harvesting area where people are allowed. We don't allow any, but also the growing area is very, very high in CO2. It's very humid, it's very unpleasant for people. It's very, very high in CO2, which is good for plants, not so good for human beings. But if you took that same building, and the building, by the way, there's no structure, it is an air pressure building. So the atmosphere, it's a positive air pressure. So basically think of fans keeping the pressure inside the building is higher than the pressure outside the building. And that's what holds up the roof, which is made of ETFE, which is the most sunlight transparent material known to man, also quite strong. So you could take it, and those are steel cables. Those are steel cables in the arches, are anchored to a concrete footing around the base. So literally, you have a robot dig the footing. You snap the steel cables onto the fiducials on the footing, and then you turn the fan on and you inflate the building. You fold the building up, the building is fabric with steel cables. You fold it up in nice packages, and you transport it to where you're building it, or you transport it to Mars on one of those big rockets. And then
he's going to say Elon can live in the middle. He keeps on joking about Elon because they're one big club. All right, this has been a long video. Oracle's at the tip of the spear of this AI beast system, reasoning against private data for you, your private data, and they'll give you the means to say, I want AI to reason against my data. But my question is, when will the Antichrist say all private data needs to feed this AI beast system? Some sort of law, think the National Defense Authorization Act. And also, as the days of Noah Devil Juice, if your DNA changed, do you have human rights? That's why they want to poke everyone, in my humble opinion. And the big picture strategy of this Tower of Babel 2.0, in summary, is this counterfeit all-knowing little god with this false light, with brain-computer interface that will be a soul trap, and with technocracy, where science will rule the world. Measure everything, every blade of grass, everything will be a node on the blockchain for AI to reconcile. This is Lucifer's ledger. They've come up with biological neural lace for this brain-computer interface. So that's bullet point number one. Number two, Oracle's at the tip of the spear of AI in this power, this one-world government, reasoning against private and public data. People want their private data to be reasoned against with artificial intelligence. Really? They name their AI system RAG. You're a RAG in their eyes. They want us as pets. Folks, there's a convergence of evil. AI is taking the jobs. Larry Ellison multiple times said we need low-cost production. We need robots managing our food that's GMO-related. No humans for this blood test. That reminds me of the scam from that woman. They want a DNA database, my friends. Then you think about inflation, Seal 3, which is biblical. As health insurance increases up to 30% in 2026, the food stamp, and there's a lot of fraud within that food stamp. I just read an article that the third most purchased item with food stamps, better known as SNAP, is soda. But I'm sure a lot of families are going to be hurting because I saw that firsthand with WIC being in the food industry. And then this whole scam of the electricity skyrocketing to feed this AI beast system and them using so much water, yet they want to limit your water, charge you more for less, charge you more for less electricity, control it with their smart tech. Then the last thing that we covered from this presentation is just as the days of Noah, another end of days marker of DNA defilement, especially of your food supply. But then this huge desire to understand your gene sequence, your DNA, through their blood test under the guise of health. It's moving fast. The big piece is how Oracle has 5 billion dossiers on people, huge in the healthcare market, and they're tied to big business, and they're tied to artificial intelligence that uses open source data that, oh, by the way, are being sued for copyright infringement. And, oh, by the way, Trump just erased on their website, Homeland Security's website, their policy on using facial recognition. I'm going to end with this. As Larry Ellison said, you're going to be monitored 24/7, and you're going to be on your best behavior, even on your so-called bathroom break. God bless. Thank you for your support. Please share.
Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And we're using AI to monitor the video, and the camera's always on. You don't turn it on and off. I need 2 minutes to take a bathroom break. and we'll turn it off. We don't really turn it off. What we do is we record it so no one can see it, but no one can get into that recording without a court order.
By the way, let me say something slightly political, and I'm not saying other people agree with this, but when people are attacking our soldiers for stopping fentanyl from coming to this country, I want people to remember, if fentanyl was killing 60,000 Yale grads instead of 60,000 working class people, we'd be dropping a nuclear bomb on whoever was sending it from South America. So, it's slightly like we in this at Palantir, we are on the side of the American, average American, who sometimes gets screwed because all the empathy goes to elite people and none of it goes to the people who are actually dying on our streets. And that's why, you know, it's like when you have an open border, it means that the average poor American earns less. I know my fellow progressives believe having an open border is going to make things, but that's because they're actually repping elite people instead of the working class. And the same thing in South America. To believe our Constitution does not give us the right to stop 60,000 deaths a year of working class men and women is insane. And this country is right to stop that. And I am very proud. I don't know all the efforts we're involved in, but to the extent we're involved in these efforts, I and most Palantirians are very proud of this.
So we had I'm going to talk about aliens. So my previous company was D-Wave. I'll just show you a couple things. We built what are still the world's only quantum computers that you can buy. And the company D-Wave has been doing this. Thanks. I didn't really have much to do with it, but so this is one of them. This is one of the processors. And a lot of interesting things happened to me over the years there. I got sent pajamas, a whole bunch of stuff. There's lots of interesting things that happen when you build something like a quantum computer. But just as an aside, because I thought it was funny, one of the interesting things that's happened from the D-Wave story is there's this gigantic conspiracy that's arisen on the internet that goes like this. So D-Wave builds quantum computers. The way that they work, if you know this, how this works, is one of the interpretations is that you tap into these parallel universes and they do computations. Sounds really weird. But what's happened is this idea has been hijacked to describe something called the Mandela effect, which is this thing where the past changes. So think about something you know to be true from the past. And then imagine you went out on the internet and you can't find it at all. It's not there. It doesn't match with your experience. So these people think that D-Wave is responsible in CERN. And of course, the quantum key to the abyss factors into it somehow. I'm not exactly sure how. Okay, so that's just D-Wave. I did that for about 15 years. It was a lot of fun. A big science project that we turned into a commercial entity. That was a warm-up for Kindred. So Kindred is much, much, much more ambitious than D-Wave. And what Kindred is trying to do is build real AI. So what you've heard about AI is not what we mean by AI. What we mean by AI is a software system that can do literally anything that a human can do. Literally anything. And obviously, computers are better at things than people in lots of different ways. So now imagine, not only can they do everything that a human can do, but they can do everything that the best human at any task could do better than them. So imagine there was the mental Olympics of the 100-meter dash, and Usain Bolt is the fastest person. Now imagine that's some kind of a mental thing, like writing a novel or writing whatever. Imagine now that the thing is so much faster than Usain Bolt. Like, for example, it's a spaceship, yeah? It's still doing the same thing, but it's doing it so much better because we're limited, because we're people. So what Kindred is trying to do is solve this problem. How do you build machines that are better than people at everything? Now, there's a mental block that we have here when we think about this. Because when you think about that, one of your questions might be, for example, what are the applications of this? So imagine this. Imagine, for $10, let's say, I could build a machine, like a little robot that had fingers and eyes and all that, and it could do your job better than you, no matter what it is, and I could sell that to your employer for, say, $15 and make a profit instead of having to pay you $100,000 a year. Now, imagine that was true for every single job. So that's what we're talking about here, is a complete and utter transformative change that of the likes of which has never been seen before in the history of humanity, making the Industrial Revolution look like a little tiny blip on the path that humans have taken from when we emerged from the ooze a few billion years ago. We are right on the verge of that transition now. So this guy, Rich Sutton, is one of the most famous people in the academic world of AI. And like many, when asked, when will this happen, he says things like this. 25% chance within 13 years of this thing that I'm talking about. You know, when you think about what you read on the news, you know, CNN, BuzzFeed, whatever, they're all kind of the same nowadays. Think about how unimportant that thing is that you're reading if this is true. Yeah? So what does this have to do with aliens? So Sam Harris, who I quite admire, is a very interesting guy, was reciting this parable at a TED talk that he was giving, and it goes something like this. So I'm the president of the United States. So I receive this message from the heavens. So my microwave dish, my SETI dish, finally captures something. And what it says is, in 50 years, or 13 years, we're coming to your planet. You got to be ready. Now just imagine what would happen if that happened. A super intelligent alien race beamed down a message to all of us Earthlings saying, we're coming July 13th, 2030, and boy, you better be ready because the mothership is landing right on the front lawn of the White House or wherever you wanted to land on that day. The amount of resources that would be marshaled to try to figure out what to do would encompass the whole world. AI is just like that. So when this thing that I'm talking about happens, it's going to be exactly the thing that you're thinking about those super intelligent AIs. So the one thing I can tell you is they're not going to be like us. So alien means, you know, different. These things that we're building are not going to be people. They might be really smart, they might be really good at all sorts of different things, but they're not going to be like us. They're going to be aliens. And they're going to be, I'm sorry to say, way smarter than every single person in this room in ways that we can't even comprehend. So this, of course, triggers a lot of alarm. One of the guys who talks about this is Elon, who says things like this. Like, when you do this, beware. Because you think, just like the guy in the stories, that when you do this, you're going to put that little guy in a pentagram, and you're going to have your holy water out, and you're going to wave it at the thing, and by God, it's going to do exactly what you say, and not one thing more, but it never works out that way. So this is an attitude that some are having, this emerging alarmism about the way this is going to go. But these words, demons, doesn't capture the essence of what's happening here. I don't know if any of you are turn-of-the-century weird fiction fans, but there's this guy named H.P. Lovecraft, who's a very famous American weird fiction author. And he exposed a view which is called cosmicism. And the essence of cosmicism is cosmic indifference. So what he was saying is basically, yes, there are these massively intelligent entities out there, but they're not good, they're not evil. They just don't give a shit about you, even in the slightest. The same way that you don't care about an ant is the same way they're not going to care about you. And these things that we're summoning into the world now are not demons, they're not evil, but they're more like the Lovecraftian great old ones. There are entities that are not necessarily going to be aligned with what we want. So this transition is really, really massively important for our entire species to navigate. And going back to that thing that Sam Harris was saying, nobody is paying attention. This thing is happening in the background while people bicker about politics and what's going to be in the healthcare plan in the U.S. And underneath it all is this rising tsunami that, if we're not careful, is going to wipe us all out.
Securing schools. We think we can absolutely lock down schools so that dramatically reduce the case of anyone being on campus that doesn't belong on campus. And immediately alert, the second someone pulls out a gun, immediately alert, use AI cameras to immediately recognize that. But A, we keep everyone off campus that doesn't belong on campus. The police, another thing, body cameras. We completely redesigned body cameras. Our body cameras cost $70. Normal body camera costs, I don't know, $7,000. Our body cameras are simply lenses. Two lenses attached to your vest, attached to the smartphone that you're wearing. And we actually take the video that the police officer is, by the way, and the camera's always on. You don't turn it on and off. And by the way you turn it on, you can't turn it off. I'm going to the bathroom. Oracle, I need 2 minutes to take a bathroom break, and we'll turn it off. The truth is, we don't really turn it off. What we do is we record it so no one can see it, but no one can get into that recording without a court order. So you get the privacy you requested, but a court order, if you get a court order, we will, you know, judge, you know, can order, I want to look at that, this so-called bathroom break. If there's something comes up, and plus, I'm going to lunch with my friends. Oracle, I need an hour for privacy with lunch with my friends. God bless. We won't listen in unless there's a court order. But it's interesting. But we transmit the video back to headquarters. So headquarters and AI is constantly monitoring the video. Remember this terrible case in Memphis where the five police officers basically beat to death another citizen in Memphis? Well, that can't happen because it would be on TV. It'd be on TV at headquarters. Everyone would see it. Your body cams will be transmitting that. The police will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have cameras on them. I think we have a squad car here someplace. But those kind of applications using AI, if we can use AI, and we're using AI to monitor the video. So if that altercation had occurred, that occurred in Memphis, the chief of police would be immediately notified. It's not people that are looking at those cameras. It's AI that's looking at the cameras. No, no, no. You can't do this. It would be like a shooting. That's going to be immediately, that's going to be an event that's immediately, an alarm's going to go off. It's going to be, and we're going to have supervision. In other words, every police officer is going to be supervised at all times. And the supervision will, and if there's a problem, AI will report the problem and report it to the appropriate person, whether it's the sheriff or the chief or whomever we need to take control of the situation. We have, same thing, we have drones. We just, if there's something going on in a shopping center, and I'll stop, a drone goes out there, I get there way faster than a police car. There's no reason for, by the way, high-speed chases. You shouldn't have high-speed chases between cars. You just have a drone follow the car. I mean, it's very, very simple. And the new generation of autonomous drones. Spotting forest fires. A drone spots the forest fire, and the drone then drops down and looks around to see if there's a human being near that heat bloom, and someone else either had an unattended campfire that caught fire or it's arson. We can detect all of that. That's all done autonomously with AI. All these are AI applications. And so you think about the application business, and I'm just getting started. I mean, I'm sure you have other things to do in your life than just listen to me.